Chris, let me tell you something.
Tell me.
It's fucking hot.
Is it? You hot as fuck?
Hot as fuck.
Are you melting? Are you literally melting away? We haven't seen you in so long. I don't know. Is your face melted and disfiguring? Like,
Clay? Isn't it wild? It's been like 3 weeks or something like that.
It's been like a month. Doesn't have. I don't know what Brock looks like anymore. I've forgotten. I have face blindness.
It feels like it should be. Like.
Feels like no time at all has passed. But the reality is it's been a pretty long time.
I mean, I feel it's so hot that my face should be melted, but it's doing okay.
Yeah, so real talk, like, amazingly, we're following up on a thing that never happens. In fact, this might be one of the only times that's ever happened, aside from Lou's brownie intake, I think, or the ice cream counter. We did follow up on those things.
What are we following up on?
On it being hot. From the last recorded the podcast, I mentioned, and you're like, hey, let's talk about that next time. And I'm blown away. Yeah. It's in there, right at the
pond. We did that off podcast.
Nope. It's for real. Well, we are often talking about how hot it is. Like, you know, because that's what humans do and we're old. Hmm. You know, when you're adults, you talk about, apparently, what did you say earlier, being fat and old? That was also from last time. When you're old, what do you talk about? The weather, right? And lawn care, which now that I think about it, I think one of the last times we talked about it being hot, you mentioned that it was so hot. I actually do remember this is like from quite a few podcasts ago. That it was so hot that you only mowed part of the lawn before you gave up because you were just like sweating your ass off.
Drenched. Yeah, it was bad. It was bad.
I am curious again, like it's been over 100 here quite often recently, or in Utah generally. And I'm traveling and it's hot as fuck because it's that time of year everywhere. And you guys are both, I mean, Houston was supposed to have like heat waves fairly recently. Has that been happening?
Yeah.
What is it like?
How hot? Yeah. I mean, it's pleasant, like normal. Yeah. I feel like 100 is normal. Is a normal summer. Whenever that's it doesn't insane. Reach 100 in Houston,
that's I'm fair.
Like,
kind of here.
Wow,
too.
It was a cool summer.
Yeah, and it is humid as fuck. You mentioned Blue that it being so hot made it harder for you to wear your typical windbreaker attire out and about in the world.
You know what's interesting is I feel like so whenever I get to work and I walk to work, it feels hotter. Then when it's like past midday and I'm walking back to my car, because I feel what happens is my windbreaker actually retains a little bit of the coolness of the inside of the building I'm walking towards my car.
Maybe. I can't believe you wear a jacket.
I can't.
I would be wearing a jacket regardless. It would be a suit jacket, which would be worse, right? I'm choosing a lighter material.
But you could not wear it until you get in the building.
Yeah, let me
put it on as you get in the building.
Ask Brock? So you obviously, when you go to work, do you have to wear like a tie and collar still, or what's your work attire now?
I have to have a collar, but no tie, no jacket. Okay, we can wear jeans. Just has to be pants, no shorts, and sneakers are fine.
Okay, that's nice. So you also don't need to worry about that as much as maybe you used to when you were wearing more attire. I can't fucking imagine. Literally, before I went on this tour, I went and bought a bunch of more athletic fabric style like t-shirts and stuff because it's so fucking hot. Like similarly, I've transitioned in the more recent years to like normal basketball shorts, like really thin ones, like almost like bathing suit type of material because it's like, I'm always just hot as fuck in general. Like, my body just runs hot. And so, I don't know how any of you guys, especially Lou, again, like, just sauna-ing in his attire.
We established I run cooler than normal.
That is true, I guess, because you are the freak who heats his house to.
Yeah, 74 in my house.
Ridiculous.
I will not stay with you.
To be fair, from my recollection of being at Lou's house,
it was fine.
It doesn't feel crazy hot. Although, also, now that I think about it and remember, I turned it down more when he was gone. when he was at work, I'm like, it's fucking hot as fuck. I'm turning the shit down.
I have it set to turn off while I'm at work. So
of course.
You did that, yeah.
I mean, I do that also.
But you didn't adjust that while he was there?
No,
like, yeah, he was gone. Like, he was
at
work.
That's not something I remembered to do, yeah.
Oh, cold.
But the house, really. Because it's like a new build, it actually retains the temperature pretty damn well. Like, I leave.
That's nice.
Like, I've stayed whenever I've, played, what's that term when you bail on stuff, responsibilities?
Hooky?
Yeah, when I've played hooky from work, which I never do.
Which never happens. No, that's not
hypothetically, if I played hooky.
Lou is very responsible.
Yeah,
all around.
Yeah, I get a webcam immediately and stuff. So when I when I played hooky, hypothetically, and I stay in the house, it doesn't get that much hotter, even though it's turned off, is what I'm trying to say.
Fair, fair. Okay. On that note, too, again, like, going back to... So, Brock, you seem to run hot, too. You mentioned, like, quite a few podcasts ago, I think, or maybe this was us just chatting. You said something like, I told my kids as soon as they move out of the house, I'm just going to be, like, a nudist.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, I don't know if that was on the podcast or not. I don't think it was, actually, now that I think about it. That was just us talking, I think.
No, I think it was on the podcast.
I don't think it was. Yeah. I really don't.
Either way, it is now revealed that Brock is definitely going to be a nudist.
So you're clearly the type to run hot. Does your house have, like, central air, your new place?
Yep.
Okay, and it keeps it nice and cool. You've been all good in the heat as far as your
68 degrees.
What? That's
I wish I could go to 68. I would go to 68, but my AC...
What's your electricity bill? Good Lord, man.
It's not bad, actually. It's really not bad.
That's nice.
That's wild.
It's a small house. We have a small... I'm sorry I don't have a Lou Mansion an old condo does not hold air well.
Could we... Well, my biggest problem is I have high ceilings. And I'm above another building or another, unit. What is the square footage of your place? Because Lou's is quite big. It's bigger than mine, for sure. I don't remember.
I don't think I know it off the top of my head.
That's right. Maybe I think now I'm remembering we might have asked you this before, and you're like, I don't know. Like, all right, well, whatever.
I can look it up real quick. Fill some space.
Okay.
I don't recall what mine is off the top of my head.
I feel like yours was like 17 or something like that.
I think 18.
Yeah, 17 or 18, because mine's like 1,100, which is feels very big to me. In fact, I've been like, I made that joke the other day because when we're on tour, like I stay in like our little coffin, bunk, and it's 12 of us in a bus. Like I literally make the joke where I'm home and I'm like, what am I doing with all this fucking space? There's so much space.
So it's a 3-bedroom, 2-bath.
Okay.
But it is only 1,136 square feet.
Okay. So basically the same as mine. Very, very similar. Okay. But with 4 people living in it and 2 dogs and a cat. And yeah, all sorts of things.
And plants in my bathroom.
Plants in the bathroom? Like, are they in the shower?
They don't live in the shower, but I have definitely walked into the bathroom with plants in the shower.
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of common, actually.
Really?
In fact, actually, so
hold on. Let's play some music and we'll... What's up and welcome back to Mike's Hard Gamecast. My name is Mike Abrocalypse Brock. Joining me today is the number 2 MHGC co-host in the world. It's Alu Salazar.
Whoa. Oh, wait, that makes Chris number 1.
No, I'm number 1 and Brock is number 3.
Also joining me today, the number dose co-host in the world for Mike's Hard Gamecast. It's a Chris Saul. You guys are tied for second. Sorry.
Even though we're... Okay, fair. He did say clean win.
It's co-host, right?
Yeah, so he did say co-host. That's fair.
Yeah, because he's technically the host of the segment known as...
He's our game guest. The entirety.
It is my segment. Well, just the intro.
The whole podcast. He's not, though, the captain. He's... Or according to some, several podcasts.
Eddie's the captain.
No, you're the captain. No.
You look at me.
Eddie's the engineer.
So, I am married.
Yes,
I have a wife that I love very, 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 very much.
I've never met her.
Caveat.
I know. Lou has not met my wife. However, Mr. Saul has met my wife.
I have. Yeah.
My wife is a plant person. Ergo, I have plants in my bathroom.
Do you like plants? Are you a plant guy? Do you like plants?
I will say, and I told this to my wife when she started this journey, I am not good at plants.
Same.
And I have never been good at plants.
Yes.
But I will do my best to support and try to speak nicely to your plants to keep them alive.
I kind of wish I had a wife who was a plant person, because I also like plants. I like plants, again, maybe to answer my own question. But yes, much like you, I am terrible at plants.
Right.
Of all kinds.
I have a little plant graveyard at this moment outside
of my... That makes sense. That tracks.
Maybe all of us are just bad at plants.
I'm surprised how long all my plants lasted, though, to be fair.
I am wildly impressed with how much I have already eaten off of the plants that my wife has grown.
Oh, cool. Yeah, because you have a little garden? Or
So we've had strawberries. We've had beans. Oh, wow. There's blackberries out there. There like rose bushes, the marigold. Like,
all sorts of things.
She just cut the top off of a huge, they're called mammoth sunflowers, and it was bigger than my head.
Ooh, neat.
Did you say mammoth sunflower?
Mammoth, yeah. Mammoth.
Are you growing, what was the thing, loofahs? That's a real throwback to in the podcast.
No, we have not crossed the loofah bridge yet.
Didn't you have them at your old house or one of the old places you lived? Okay. Yeah. All right.
Have you crossed the making soaps with all your floral things? Ooh. Threshold?
No, but that actually is in the works because she's made soap before, so she might
do I feel like from stuff. What I know of your wife that she's like the creative type, obviously.
Yeah,
so
I get that vibe.
We're definitely going in a like, and I guess it's the popular thing now, right? Is in like a homesteading farming direction.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Because I was at Tractor Supply the other day.
Ooh,
which
it's a cool
already story. Is a dangerous place for me. But was staring at the chicks.
Wait, what? Played.
I was
not in the way to lose.
My wife was ready to pick up some chicks. Like she's like,
they were gonna
pick up some chicks. And I was very excited. But quite frankly, we don't have a place to put all the chicks yet. So we don't really want to just pick up chicks with nowhere to put them.
Are you concerned that your dogs might attack the chicks?
No. So
they both feel like the kind of dog who would.
We already know Aphrodite is fine with chicks because she's been around them before.
Oh, that's right.
Athena is actually really better at listening than Aphrodite is because Aphrodite is just a fat potato. Whereas Athena is like a herding dog, so she really
smart
appreciates
dog.
Commands and she's fine. She gets really excited at things, but we call her off pretty quick, and she's chill. She's fine with the cat, and I figured the cat would get her more than anything.
Ah, fair. Okay. Nice. So you will eventually, theoretically, pick up some chicks. And you didn't have them before, correct? Wasn't it like your roommate or something like that? I don't remember. I feel like there was something around this. Like before.
Our roommate had bought them.
Okay.
But she had basically just stuck them in the garage with all our stuff without any kind of where or place to put them. So they shat all over everything. So we ended up taking care of the chickens.
Mm-hmm.
Garage? Well, and then finally, she built a chicken coop after we got like a giant, I forget what they're called, but like a galvanized pan to put them in.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Like a little tub thing.
Warm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then finally she built a chicken coop, which was the most frustrating chicken coop on the planet because she was more worried that it looked like the house that we lived in than it was functional for chickens.
Amazing. That's kind of fun and terrible.
we ended up taking care of them, and I would go out and I would feed them and water them, and then I don't know if you guys know about this, but chicks will imprint on whoever's the primary caregiver.
Yeah.
And so they would end up just like, I would let them out and they would just follow me around the garden and I would feed them. And
cute.
It was a lot of fun.
We
had a neighbor's dog that was not.
That's
well
right.
Paid.
They died. Yeah, I do remember that. We talked about this on the podcast.
Getting out and breaking in violently. And
they were retired.
It was like, and it was a sad and tragic day.
It was not a fun day.
Yeah. It's
and
sad.
That lady did not care at all. She's like, oh, you want me to like get you some more or whatever? Like, it was upsetting.
I mean, that's a nice offer.
No, not the way she said it.
Yeah, fair. All right. Cool. So you guys are how is your house, Brock? How's that been going? How long have you been in there now? It's been a while.
So we're coming up on a year.
Yeah, I was thinking it's already going to be almost a year.
Yeah, in a couple months will be in October. I think will be a year.
It seems like that's really worked out well for you, from what I have seen.
Yes. Home ownership is wonderful.
It's nice.
Pros and cons.
My daughter might have dented the wall the other day.
Doing what?
Bracing herself against it.
Putting
her feet up against the wall and like her back on the other in the hallway.
Kind of like climbing up, like parkouring up a little bit.
Yeah. And so
that sounds like a thing a teenager would do.
A divot in the wall, which is, you know. And then my son's cat has decided to declare war on my son's carpet.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Fun. Yeah,
and is like pulled up the carpet in his bedroom, which is exciting.
This goes really back to the joy of children and fatherhood.
Yeah. Well, and then so I got really nervous about a week ago.
Hmm.
I don't know. I guess it was longer than that now. Time is weird. Yeah. Sure. Because
time is weird.
So my son's girlfriend's AC went out at their house right in the middle of the mad heat.
Right about, yeah, like when things are terrible.
And then mm-hmm. our friend, his AC went out at his house.
I think you mentioned this to us too. Yeah.
Freaked out about my AC. So I immediately went and changed out the filter and like just made sure everything was fine. So there was no problem.
It's a big expense to lose your AC.
So far, so good. But we have been running it heavy because it's been so hot. Sure. And you are supposed to like give rests and breaks to your AC.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, I mean, your house isn't super new necessarily. Do you know how old your AC is? Because that was definitely an expense I got, I think, last year or the year before.
I have it. It's on the paperwork. I think they changed it out. I want to say it's like 5 to 7 years ago.
Okay.
So it's not super old, but it's not like brand new either.
Yeah, it could, go.
I will say the inspector said it looks good. So that's solid. And I will say whoever built this house built it well. It's very well insulated.
Oh, nice. So you're not feeling...
All the gaskets on the doors and windows are great. So I'm nice. Very happy with the retention of temperature.
I feel like it also matters a lot. Like, obviously, you mentioned he's got a house that's got certain things too. But also a huge part of this, I feel like, is like where your house faces and the sun exposure and like windows and stuff. Because my house, is a bit older, but not probably newer than yours. But yeah, similarly... I notice it doesn't, with like me being coming and going throughout the day, and my AC does turn off when I leave, you know, I have it like set to shut off when I'm not there. It does maintain its coolness relatively, which is nice because, it's been hot as hell. I hope everyone's staying cool out there, all the FFs.
See, and we have, with the three animals at home, we actually just keep it running at a typical temperature even while we're gone.
I actually had that question also because I was thinking about this the other day, and obviously Brock, like... Your situation is the most complicated with the most people in the house. But Lou, you have your dog, you have Simba. When you're gone, you turn off the AC, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
And you said your house is pretty well insulated, so you don't necessarily notice, like, but yeah.
I think the highest it gets to, even on hot, like crazy days, like even if it's 100 plus,
yeah,
it seems like the highest it'll get, it won't ever cross like 80.
Okay, so yeah, it doesn't like, go
like
insane.
78 max, right? Yes. Normally it goes so up to like 76. Like
it's pretty hot, but it's not 100. It's not 100, or yeah, it doesn't go crazy. Because the question I was thinking about the other day is when you leave either of you, when you leave your pets at home, i.e., dogs, alone, do you leave lights on for them, or music, or TV, or anything like that, or like? And I get, like, Lou's a bit more of a homebody, and Brock, obviously, you have a rotating cast of family, so maybe people are in and out. But I had this sort of thought to myself, I'm like, man, if I had a pet, would I change some of those habits? Because, you know, I leave my house, I turn all the fucking lights off or whatever.
So,
but like,
I wasn't too worried about it until I read this article about how dogs can be scared of the dark, just like humans are.
Oh, my God!
Except there's no way they can do anything about it, because they can't turn on a light or, you know, and they don't necessarily have the same...
I have automated night
process
lights.
Of retention on that, like how to internalize and deal with that.
Yeah.
So, yes, we totally leave a light on for the animals now. That's we don't leave them all on, but we'll leave, like, a kitchen light just so there's some light
on. Yeah, I figured I'd leave at least some lights on, but, like, it felt, like, almost even extra sad to me, the idea that, like, yeah, your dog is just sitting at home and it's also dark because, you know, depending on what time of year it is, right? Yeah. Like, well, just even that, yeah, like, during summer, it's, like, it's still light now and it's, like, relatively late in the evening. So that's a little different, right? Your dog's going to get some natural light. But during the winter or whatever, when it gets dark early, and you're probably, you know, any of us are still at work, your dog or cat is just sitting in the dark. I guess cats probably care less, you know, theoretically, because they have good night vision. But your dog is just like, oh, not only is my human not here, but it's just dark. That's just, I don't know, it gave me some sadness pangs, I guess, thinking about it.
I don't turn anything on. I do have like night lights that turn on automatically just based on the like whether or not there's receiving Sure. Any sunlight is penetrating.
Yeah, I have a handful of those as well, like the natural, yeah, automated ones.
You know the dog fact that really like broke me almost as a human?
What was that?
So dogs have no capacity of understanding accidents. So if you accidentally like step on their tail
or
like kick them in the face while you're walking, they think you did it on purpose.
Yeah, that's fair. I feel like they're pretty quick to forgive though. Dogs are like pretty forgiving, I feel like. No. Unless you're like beating them all the time, obviously, then they get traumatized.
Are they forgiving or is it just some Stockholm syndrome shit, right? Like,
that is kind of fair, like, to be honest.
I feel like you guys are crossing the threshold of like, hey, it's still an animal based. Well, like,
no, but so let's put it this way. They say theoretically that cats have never technically been domesticated. Like any cat is capable of surviving in the wild without you. Whereas we have fucked with dogs so much that they're essentially, like, some are still like, you know, relatively like wild, but a dog would essentially die without you. It's basically a permanent puppy or like child, like infant essentially. So it relies on you. So to Brock's point, like, it's like, I need you to feed me. You know, like, I understand that you're, like, taking care of me.
I forgive you.
Yeah. Like, I guess it's okay, mother or father. You know, like, that.
So it's actually not Stockholm syndrome. It's more like a domestic abuse situation.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. You know. Yeah.
They've got nowhere else to go.
Yeah. My God. Yeah.
I see that, actually. It's sad, but some people will retract their statement or choose, like, hey, I don't want charges anymore because they literally rely on that person for food and money and
living and
shelter and everything. So they're like, never mind.
Oh my God.
I'd rather deal with this asshole than have to like shift my whole fucking life.
You know? I do not have a dog, but I have to think that anyone who is listening who has a dog is definitely thinking about this a little bit now. And like, oh man.
I legitimately felt that one. I was like, oh God. Like, and I know, like, Lou, you were kind of like put in the position to get the dog. You weren't like a dog person that went out and got the dog. And, you know, you were given this. And
he's got a different relationship with his dog, right, for sure. Yeah.
I'm an animal guy more than I am a plant person or a human person.
Like, yeah.
I will cuddle the dogs and they like sleep in our bed.
Yeah. The dogs feel very close to you. Just what I've seen on social media.
When I heard that fact, I was like, oh no, I thought about every time, like I've just come around the corner too quick or they've been right behind me and I stopped and kicked them in the face. Like,
here's my question. You're a dog person. You love the dog. You love the animals. Have you crossed that threshold though, where if you see somebody in trouble with an animal, would you rescue the animal before the human?
That's quite a question. You mean like, i.e., a human and a dog are like swimming in a river or something?
Yeah, sure.
And you need to save one of them theoretically, or you're like,
Would you choose the dog over the human? I asked this to a coworker point blank because she was talking about,
and I have similar. Like,
she, and she
like,
said the dog. She said the, like, she's like, I'll rescue the dog before the.
Let's room. Let's talk this out a little bit because this is a great question. Is it the?
It's my segment! Yay!
This question of the week is brought to you by GetAthreads.com. We appreciate GetAthreads' continued support. Be sure to go to GetAthreads.com/WeLoveAnimals for no money off, but you'll feel better about yourself.
I hope people took advantage of the Kylie Reed promotion.
Yeah.
Good callback.
It was 69% off is a great deal.
That's a great deal.
Lou's occasionally interesting question of the week. So, okay, frame it up a little bit for me. It's a flood, like a flash flood. There's a human and a dog. They're both like equal distance away from you. Are they next to each other? Like, what are we dealing with?
Yeah, like you have the opportunity to only save one of them based on like the however like much this thing is flooding or whatever. Maybe you only have the stamina, let's say, to save one of them, and you're not going to super mom it, okay?
That's not true. A kid? Is it an adult?
That's a real question.
Is it an old person?
I mean, it's a human.
It's Lou.
I think that
it's Lou and he's drowning. It's Lou or Simba. One or the other. Lou and Simba are both drowning, and you see them, you know, get washed away.
No, because he has a personal connection to me. The whole point is it has to be a stranger. A strange
he doesn't
dog.
Know Simba. That's a perfect example.
It's a strange dog, and it's a
strange person.
A strange Who's person, a strange like person? A stranger. Yeah. I like it.
So okay. I have an answer, and that's okay. Not an answer I'm happy with, but it's the truth.
I'm very curious where this is going.
I might end up dying trying to save both, but
okay.
I would probably go for the human first, just because an animal in that situation has a high chance of injuring me in a way that I would not be able to save
So
myself.
Does a human, to be fair.
It's like, true, but hopefully might be even worse. I can try to at least rationalize with a human a little bit in that situation. Like, hey, I got you. Mm. I got you.
Just knock him out.
I almost feel like the other situation, i.e. assuming that's what's happening, you know, that the whoever you're saving panics, like a dog I could just fucking grab, like a human that's my size, assuming that we're, you know, like kind of like an average size human, not like a super small person, like a child or like whatever, a gigantic dude, like would be hard to fucking physically overcome, you know, if they're like thrashing. And like, whereas a dog, unless the dog is fucking gigantic, I could kind of like grab.
Let me frame this differently, okay? Because you guys are going in a direction I find interesting. But
I'm very curious.
I wouldn't think the danger to yourself is relevant in the question. I don't think the danger to yourself should be relevant to the question.
Fair.
So like, I want to know who we're
Okay, thinking. so hypothetical in this situation, maybe to clarify yours. Like,
Let Lou clarify.
So all right. Let's say you witness an accident and both a dog and a human are like wounded and are in danger. They need medical attention. But for whatever reason, you can only take one of them to get medical treatment. Life-saving, whatever procedure is needed.
I get you.
So at that point, you're not in any danger.
Yeah, you will be fine.
You just have to choose one. Yeah.
You won't get in trouble
to get saved.
Yeah. I get you. It's like a simple ethic problem.
Mm. So for me, if it's not clear, I would go for the human.
Yeah, I figured. Chris,
I'm very inclined to say the dog. I gotta be honest. Okay. Like I have a. I am pretty, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, I have like a bleak perspective on most humans.
Yeah.
I.e., like,
dogs are just innocents.
Yeah, exactly. There's kind of that vibe where it's like, I don't know. Like, I get it. That sounds like terrible, obviously. And there's so many other factors. Like, Brock asked a very good question. Is it just a someone who's like relatively our peer, like a man, adult man? That's very different than, is it a fucking child? Like, yeah, I'm saving the child. Like, I'm not gonna not
child
grab
Trump's
a kid.
All, but yeah, I'll be honest, I might go the dog otherwise.
Also,
what
and
about
again,
man,
like your
man
version
versus
of the
woman.
Question, your version of the question changes a lot because like that implies that it's like very cut and dry. Because like my other perspective on like the people, like, you know, they're getting washed away in the river or whatever, is like the human might have a better chance of saving themselves versus the dog, or maybe vice versa, to be honest, you know, because the dog might have a harder time. I don't know. Like, but I really do like dogs. I'm definitely an animal person, like Brock was kind of saying, like maybe more than a human person, as he phrased it.
Would the breed matter to you at all?
Nah.
Yeah, probably.
Wow. Holy crap.
If it was like a fucking little shit dog, I'd be like, yeah. Whereas, like, if it was, like, a dog that...
Like a shih tzu?
Yeah, like, one of, like, a lot of the, like...
Chihuahua.
Kind of breeds, yeah, I'm kind of like...
That's a super selective love of dogs, Chris. What the
yeah.
fuck?
I was saying,
yeah,
I mean...
But to be honest, like, I like a lot of dogs. It's just that some
honest,
of them are kind of like...
Chihuahua's not going to survive a flash flood anyway.
Maybe it will. It's so light it'll float like an ant, you know? It just kind of, like, stays above water.
What if we change the animal? Would you save a cat over a person?
That's a very good question, because that is challenging.
I guess it really comes down to is if you have the choice between a human life and an animal life, what is it?
Or exactly. Like, if somebody was maybe a different version of the situation, like gun to someone's head, like I'm going to shoot this man or I'm going to shoot this dog.
This got real dire.
No, but it did, but that is kind of what we're getting at if we're going to like make it super cut and dry versus like, oh, I don't want to save the man because he will beat me up or whatever, like Brock was saying, or, you know, whatever, you know, like someone's hysterical.
That one's gonna be hard because the person,
or maybe not shoot, like painless death. Like, some entity arrives in front of you and is like, I will snap my fingers, and this person is going to cease existing.
Thanos comes down and...
Yes, gives you and 50-50, or this animal will cease existing. Ooh, that changes it in my mind, for sure, because that feels... That's interesting, because the situation does impact my decision, I feel like.
I feel like such a terrible person right now.
I feel like most people are terrible, so I'm like...
I feel there's plenty of people out there who would choose dog. Don't worry about it.
I love animals. Like, I really, really like animals a lot.
I'm to the point, by the way, where I am insecure about my level of love for Simba, right? Where I start thinking about these things where... If I got in an accident, for example, like, how much would I prioritize trying to, like, if I'm in danger myself, like, how much would I prioritize trying to also save?
Can let's I say
save
I'm picking him
to can get I groomed, say,
you know?
That's one of my, like, I have that nightmare where, like, we have a car accident and...
Oh, interesting. And because, who can you
like,
save?
We're, like, knocked unconscious, but the dog gets out and just runs away and is gone, or...
Do you think...
Gets hurt and I can't do anything because I'm trapped... And I like
Boy. See, this is really interesting for both of you, and we've talked about this before a little bit. Like, because kind of what we're getting at too is random dog, random person, versus your family members or that's your dog, and also something that we've also talked about too is like I have a completely sort of selfish life, i.e., it's just me, at least in my individual house, you know. And Lou also had that situation for a long time too, until he got Simba, and that. I think, I mean, it is interesting because we've talked about how Brock and Lou relate to their dog kind of differently, but I've also seen Lou with Simba, and like, he clearly loves him, whether or not you feel like, I mean, Lou, we could talk about this too, like you've mentioned before, like how much do you love your own family or whatever, right? Like you've mentioned like that feeling of kind of like, oh, I have complicated relationships, i.e. with love maybe or whatever, and affection. Like, so that's a whole different thing, but... Brock's point is very like, do you save, like all your car goes off the road, horrible nightmare, like into the river.
It is concerning to me, but at least I'm self-aware of it, right? It is concerning to me how indifferent I am in many ways towards anyone outside of myself, right? And I have to make a conscious effort to like, in you know, get more involved or try to think about caring more, at least. Like, let's say if one of my friends just randomly disappears, obviously it would have an impact, but I don't know how long that impact would last because of how I ultimately am like very...
If one of us disappeared, Lou would be like, I guess I don't have to record the podcast anymore.
Or if you disappeared, he'd be like, who am I going to do play WoW with now? Yeah. There's one less guy.
I guess I'm quitting WoW if Brock disappears.
Boy.
But a big part of why I'm still playing WoW is because I'm hanging out with friends.
And but that's like interesting too, because that is almost like a counterpoint to what you were saying, i.e. like you care about Brock enough to play WoW, even though you like it, but you know what I'm saying. Like, and similarly,
I'll put it this way, like I will, it's not as though like, so I've told you guys before, and I've mentioned this on the podcast, I feel like I am definitely self-centered to a degree and selfish, etc. Like that's kind of my inclination. I care more a lot about myself, and it just kind of happens naturally. Like that's not something I'm consciously doing a lot. But because I'm self-aware of it, like if you guys ask me for shit, I will absolutely go. Like even if I absolutely don't fucking want to do it. Like I care about you guys enough where I will do the uncomfortable thing. I will do, you know, the whatever people ask. I'll be helpful as much as I can be. And all of that. And it's not to overcompensate. It's just kind of like comes naturally where I'm like...
Yeah, you still care. I mean, family
ends up... It's like if family, like even if I don't... Like if they'll ask a favor of me and I haven't talked to them in like 3 months or whatever, I'm like, yeah, you know. The fuck else do I got going on? I live alone. I got Simba. I got... You know?
That's a whole kind of a different conversation for some other time for sure, because that is interesting and I have a lot of thoughts on that. And Brock is probably in a very different situation, obviously, given, you know, there is something to be said for like the immediacy of like Brock lives with his kids and his wife. Like, at least for me, I know that the idea of, because I also have a pretty solitary life, it's easier to focus on yourself versus if I had a partner that lived with me, it's like a more forced interaction, not in a bad way, just kind of like, right, of course, there's another person I need to consider, like you have a Simba. And you did mention the other day where you were talking about like feeling guilty for a situation where you're like, where Simba like had vomited and you're like, oh, is something wrong? Did I do something wrong? You know? And so that's interesting that you were talking about like, oh, I don't know how, you know, again, to whatever extent you care about him or whatever, like you mentioned that apropos of nothing. You obviously care, you know?
But there's levels, I guess, because it, like, dog people are fucking crazy. The extreme.
Well, there's definitely a version of it where like you're, where, and honestly, this is interesting because the idea of the extent to which you become attached to your pets is good and bad. Like maybe again, like your indifference is protective. Cause like, I get this. I know people who've like, especially when they have a dog, like as their, you know, first kid kind of thing, like they're a couple and they have a dog and like the dog's like their child and the dog dies. That's like a fucking devastating, you know, because it does feel like it's your child. And obviously the more you care about something, whether it's dog or anything, like the more difficult it is to lose, or if some bad thing, something bad happens to it. So maybe that is like for you or for me or for a lot of us, like a protective thing to some extent, right? Like, I'm going to like, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. I got it. I've got the hierarchy of saving
out of your whole family.
Just mowing it over the whole fucking time.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go.
Specifically your family.
Ready? No. So my family first.
I thought
as a unit, my family,
I wanted
first.
You to rank the individual members of your family. Nope, that's not a terrible thing. Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Wife or kids first?
Family first.
Sure.
It would have to be the kids first because otherwise my wife would kill me. But then
Simba objects.
My dogs over strangers.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Right. Then I would probably do strange children.
I'm clipping just that Brock is gonna do strange children.
Then rest of humanity.
So the gender at that point doesn't matter once they're just strangers and humans.
I don't think so. No, I think people put too
gender
much...
doesn't affect me either. The age thing is interesting, and we don't need to talk about this too much more. But people make the argument with like, okay, there's an old person, there's like a person our age, and there's like a child. Like, which one do you save, like, in a situation where they're drowning?
Always the child.
But some people argue, again, and it obviously depends on all the other weird factors. This is literally, like, an ethics discussion. But it's, like, the child has potential, i.e., right? They have the rest of their lives ahead of them. But, like, the child in some ways, like, or would you want to save an older person because that person has a lot of wisdom and knowledge and could potentially be useful? Again, like, the specifics of this situation vary. But I have definitely heard people make the argument the other way. Which is complicated. Yeah.
Well, to me, the child has not had a chance yet to do anything in their life and deserves that chance more than anybody else.
How would you feel if later on in life you read in the newspaper and it turns out that child that you saved turns out to be like a serial killer or something like that? Would you?
Yeah, it's nothing to do with
you.
Not
a reflection of my actions.
Yeah, that's true. It's nothing to do with you, to be fair.
It wouldn't exist had you not taken the action.
That's not necessarily
true. By the way,
there's
a whole ass anime about something like that, a monster.
Okay, for time's sake, though, let's go ahead and rate this question of the week, which was very thought-provoking and random.
Yeah,
I really want to give it a high rating. I do. But considering it was not actually your question of the week, and you just turned this question
the
question.
He asked
of the
a question.
It's way better. It's way better than the question. You can't dock me points for being like...
I didn't even intro the segment. Like it was not prompted.
He segued on his own.
Yeah, he's just like, this is gonna be my question of the week. I give him respect for that.
You should give me points for being.
Yeah, I give him like 8 moves.
No, and when Chris is grading your segment, Chris can give you a different score. That's
Chris, give me a score alongside Brock so that I know.
I already said 8 moves.
Okay.
Cool.
That's the podcast, everybody. Thanks for listening. We're going to start the outro music right now.
Oh, that was so funny. I'll be honest. This probably would have been a 9.
It's a good question.
But I'm going to dock it some points just because of it not being a real question. And it's going to be a 7.
Just because of that, I'm going to tell a fun story in the outro about Brock.
Was it a dream?
No. It's real. It happened.
Oh. Have you guys had dreams about us, like each other?
Yeah.
Probably. Not the one that I can recall, though.
Yeah, we were doing it in Eiffel Tower with Riley Reed.
Kylie?
No, Riley. Different one.
Is that a real dream? I gotta know.
No, I don't want to know.
You were really ripped. 50-50
chance it's a real Brock? Dream. Was it me or was it Chris?
Oh, you'll never know. No, but you guys were ripped. It was sexy.
Oh, we were both. Maybe he was just watching and we were on the tower.
Oh, this podcast geez. Really does have everything. We've really gone all across the board today.
And on that note, music. Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
It's time for your outro segment.
No. Okay.
What about Brock? What about Lou's occasionally interesting question of the week?
It's done already.
Oh, wait. Not that. The thing he was going to tell, the story he was going to tell about you.
We went on a super quick
journey.
Brock, we had a huge failure because of Brock.
You had a what?
A huge failure.
Did he go get ice cream in the middle of a raid?
No, he did not.
No?
Here's what happened, right?
It is not my fault.
It's your fault. Here, hold on.
No. So, I'm starting to start off by saying it is not my fault.
So,
I would like to reserve telling my side of this afterwards.
The new... it's a quick side, by the way. But the new, the new patch... is out, right? There's a lot of new content. We can't get into too many details.
That was a while
ago, of the features is that warlock pets, or not pets, the warlock demons that they control have new skins that you can customize.
Okay.
So Brock has started, trying to get some of these skins. And so he asked about, hey, how do I get to Argos, which is this from another expansion? And so we figured that shit out.
By the way, I invited Lou to join me on getting some of these skins.
Of course. Why wouldn't you? I'm awesome. So we so we get to Argos. It's in a raid, right? And he has an article pulled up or, some notes, guy. I guess.
Sure, okay.
Mm-hmm. That tell you the steps as to how to get it, right? This is in-game, by the way. It says source. Question mark, question mark, question mark. So it's unknown, but then a bunch of nerds figure that shit out, of course, right? So we know how to do it. Brock has the way to do it. So we get there, and he reads it out, twice, basically, before we go do it. We get to the boss, we kick his ass, we go through a portal, and then we have to click a gateway thing, right? And then it's like, that's it. We're done. We got the new skin. Cool. And so we click on it as we're channeling, right? We're channeling on this thing. The channel ends, and I'm like, okay. And is that it? And Brock is, that's it. And I'm like, but we didn't, shouldn't we get, a notification? Normally it'll, give you, something.
Something happened.
Something will pop. And then the gateway disappears. I noticed very late though, a little bit of sparkles underneath the gateway as it's disappearing, and I'm like, I think we have to do something else. and then Brock, I think, was reading because he was tapped out. I think
no.
He came back in.
Brock does not read.
I don't read.
No, you came back in because you didn't see the book either. I was asking, is that it? After we finish the channel, a fucking book spawns in the gateway that you have to click to collect a grimoire to get the fucking skin.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right? But for whatever reason, in Brock's defense, that was not in the instructions. Why the fuck would you not include the, how you actually get the fucking thing?
Okay, it had, this instructions had step by step on every part of this thing until the last step, which is, the book spawns underneath where the gateway activates to click on it and pick up the book. It just says channel and select this chat piece on the gateway and you will complete it.
So I think it's Brock's fault because he picked a shitty source.
I picked Wowhead.
Oh no.
Called out.
Wowhead, your guide fucking sucked.
One of the ultimate sources for WoW-related content.
What? I mean, again, assuming that it's real step-by-step, I'm not going to the specifics, but What did you... So, it was there, like...
It spawned.
What did you think was happening then?
No, I didn't notice the book until it was fading away because of the angle of the camera, I think.
And it literally, so it does, it just fades away and you miss your opportunity.
And literally, as I was tabbing back in to look at the game, because I went to reread it, because I was like, this is weird. Because
I said there was no notification or anything normally.
So it was other...
And then when I tabbed back in, as the gateway is despawning, I see the book.
Sparkles.
And it's just a little tiny book underneath a big gateway, and it just disappears.
So your other... reason for being at Falls is you don't have more than one monitor.
I guess. I mean, Lou was not reading anything and theoretically could have seen it for himself as he was looking at it the whole time.
He did see it, it sounds like.
Again, too late.
I didn't tell you this, but I actually did grab the book.
That's not true.
If somebody else has the book, do you get the pet? Do you get the pet? Does Lou get the pet?
No.
So you have to do it again, is what you're saying.
We have to wait a week to do it again, yeah.
Because it's a whole lockout.
It's a lockout, yeah.
How much time did this take?
Like 15 minutes.
Okay, so not like...
I think the biggest part of the adventure was figuring out how to get our characters to Argos, because you have to do a bunch of quest lines and...
Just to even get there.
To even get there to unlock the raid, yeah. But luckily, we recruited Phil to help us out at the raid's entrance, and I have my shaman, which... did that expansion.
And there were no cutscenes.
Well, or is that problem been resolved? Phil was with us. Phil witnessed the failure that was our attempt at getting...
He also failed to notice the book.
Yes. But he wouldn't have seen it, though, I don't think, right?
No, he should have, because it was just a physical spawn.
I don't know. I think it's personal, probably. Let's blame Phil.
I think it's Brock's fault.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going with Wildhead. Get better writers. And on that note, thanks for listening and have a wonderful night.